Call the Common Council meeting of Tuesday, October 17th to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Is here, but he's not in attendance, so he's absent at the moment.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Is excused.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started, I do have one bit of sad news for those of you who knew. Auxiliary Officer David Day has passed away at the age of 63, close.
Still.
After a short battle with Alzheimer's. His funeral will be Friday. I don't have the details, but long-time servant to the city. And was a firefighter as well. Paid on call. Right, Pat?
I'm not aware.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we have a roll call. Citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any matter, please rise, come forward, and give us your name and address. Scott? You looked like you were going to do it, so I call you. Nice to see you again.
Scott Solansky from 8565 South 68th Street. Thought I'd just show up. Haven't seen you guys in a while.
It's good to see you.
By the way, I like everybody. Okay, just so we don't make that straight. I was confused when I read the article, Ballpark Commons gets final approval, comes to Franklin, written by Eric Hanley in the October 11th edition of the South. Now, the paragraph states, with the sale of the Crystal Ridge landfill approved, construction of the Ballpark Commons at Franklin can now begin. Now, unless I'm wrong, and unfortunately Alderman Taylor's not here, but the agreement that the developer has with the county, Section 10, closing delivery, states there are seven items the developer has to obtain first before the county will sign an agreement. Plus, as we all know, there's another 27 conditions of approval per the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance Plan Development District Number 37. So I know you can't tell what the paper writes, but I just want some clarification that I am correct that there's a lot more steps the developer has to go through before he can start construction.
You're absolutely correct.
Thank you. I got another little question. You have to apologize because I wasn't here, but you had a common council meeting dated September 19th, 2017, and it was item number G2. It was a resolution providing for the sale of approximately $42.7 million of anticipation notes for TID number 3, TID number 4, and TID number 5. At the bottom of that resolution, there was a little paragraph that concerns me, and that is the Finance Committee reviewed the issuance of anticipation notes at its August 22nd, 2017 meeting and recommended an authorizing resolution to the Common Council. The recommendation was for an amount not to exceed $36 million. However, since that meeting, new information on the Ballpark Commons has caused the amount to increase to $42.75 million, or $6.75 million more. So everybody here voted for that resolution. There was no discussion. I'm just wondering, why was there an additional $6.75 million for the Ballpark Commons added after the Finance Committee voted not to exceed $36
million? There were impending changes coming in the financial structure of the entire project. The developer has gone through a site modifications and additionally talked to prospective tenants that are online and made changes to the site plan accordingly. and will be or is in the process of submitting documents to the city to go through the review on those site changes. Accordingly, there are also changes intended for the TIF district itself that will impact the amount of infrastructure associated with the project, but also increase the amount of revenue associated with the project or anticipated from the project. We're in a review right now on the city side. We have our financial consultants in place to conduct additional review based on the revisions that are being proposed to ensure the city's protected and that the district will still cash flow and will fit within the bounds of the existing TIF district if possible, or if to do the analysis to find out if additional changes would be necessary to the TIF project plan. So we're in the midst of that review right now, and so I believe the additional bonding was put in place to secure that, to ensure that we're in a position, should those changes come to fruition, the city would be in a position to continue to support the project.
I just thought it would be nice if he had made that comment at the meeting rather than everybody just voting for it. Just a comment, don't need to answer because I know you won't. But one more last thing, then I'm done. In the Milwaukee Business Journal, dated September 28, 2017, there was an article entitled Construction of 125 Million Ballpark Commons to Start in Spring After Securing County Approval. We all know, I just went through this, that's not necessarily true. However, if anybody gets that article, there are 9 photos attached to the article. Okay, photo number 7 is a picture of the sports village. And the note below it states, an earlier concept for the ballpark commons had a sports village with housing and commercial space along Loomis Road, east of the Rock. But newer plans envision only baseball fields will be there. I would think if you're taking out the sports village, that's going to have a big impact on the flow of taxes as compared to having just 2 or 3 more ball diamonds. So can someone explain to me if that is true, that the sports village is now off the table?
Portions of that are off the table. The design has changed, and your concern is absolutely has merit. But it's our job to make sure that we get the increased value someplace else so that we don't lose value, and we're doing that. The building mix now is, we believe, higher value than the original proposal from a year and a half ago.
Okay, and then in conclusion, is the city kind of doing their due diligence? I mean, I guess what I'm concerned about is, what the developer shows you and you agree to, and then he gives that to the Wisconsin DNR, and they change it dramatically, and then he comes back to you and says, hey, I got an approval from the Wisconsin DNR, I'm going to go ahead, but it doesn't match to what he showed you guys that you approved. Is there going to be something in the developer's agreement that's going to be somewhat of a stopgap to make sure that what he gets approved for by the WDNR matches what you approved on those proposals? And then the other thing was that does the financer, does the developer have financing in place? And then, there was this $3.7 million remediation that the county thought was a good idea to give to the city of Franklin's TIF district. That number was based on a report that was developed in 2014. What assurances does the city have that that $3.7 million, which we're now going to accept with the remediation, does it increase in 2018 dollars to maybe $5 million or more? What assurances do we have that it's only going to be $3.7
million? Sure. Several things there, and stop me or correct me when I don't answer one of the questions because that's not my intention.
Sure.
If I'll go backwards in order, we continue to get input from Milwaukee County. They're the ones who oversaw the initial report that talked about the amount that it would cost to replace that system. And while we were working through the conversations with the county about the funding structure moving forward, there was an understanding that not only this current year upgrades to the system, but in future dollars, how that would be impacted. And the feedback has been that that is planned for. The reassurance to the city side of it is that cost overruns on this beyond what's approved within the TIF district fall to the developer themselves, right? And certainly we don't want them to be...
Could you tell me that that's what it's going to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. So any cost overruns fall to their side of the table. They're required to do that. Now, certainly we want to protect ourselves such that if the cost burden becomes so overbearing, it could have negative impacts on the project. So we want to check in on that. But the immediate risk side of it is on theirs. Now, help me out. What were the other questions?
Does the developer have financing in place that this is approved and we can go right ahead?
At this stage, it's too early for us to be asking that question. The understanding that we have is that there are a number of tenants who are interested in the project, that the development plan is coming together, but it would be at a later stage that we'd be looking to have proof through the development agreement that there's equity going into the project and the financing is in place before we incur risk on our side, which is the expenditure of bond funds.
And then the last thing is, if the developer gets approval by Wisconsin DNR, that the council didn't approve, what fallback support do we have that, you know, we don't get?
Sure. Our planning manager, Joel, could probably jump in on this more than I, but this project, just like any other project in the city of Franklin, has requirements that other approvals are met. And our approval is always subject to the condition that other approvals are met. And that would be very much the case here, where if the project needs to change dramatically based on feedback from DNR and something we've already approved is changing, they would need to come back, you know, within reason, right? Minor modifications, we are generally negligible. We'll handle that at a staff level. But if there are dramatic changes, and Joel could speak to what level sets off that larger change, certainly they need to come back and seek reapproval or approval for the modifications.
And what's the status of the developer's agreement?
There's been not much status on it since our prior conversations about it. As I noted, the developer's been working through their approval processes with the county, as you read about somewhat misleadingly in the paper, but also through the DNR side, MMSD, and they've now... are working on their submittal to us at the city level to make the plan revisions that we talked about, and you raised the concern about the sports village modifications, relocation within the project site, and some other associated changes. So we're working through that review process with them then. Now, as we work through that process, we'll start to get back into the developer agreement. But frankly, it's a good thing we probably didn't get too deep into the development agreement yet anyways, because so much has changed.
Okay, and then one last...
You keep saying that, Scott.
This is my remember there was this big discussion about those Sprecher cafes,
mm-hmm.
and the council approved it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that has never gone forward, just so everybody knows. The county didn't get it until like 2 weeks ago. They made changes, and the Wisconsin DNR has never seen anything regarding those cafes.
Then they may not.
Right, but you approve something that nobody else has seen. I just make a comment that when you approve something... Okay, it was not really what ended up happening because the county has really changed what you approved. I'm just giving you a heads up. You understand? You approved going forward with the
spread. I got it. I understand.
But the county changed it. So what you approved isn't current. Just letting you know.
Well, if the changes are dramatic, they'll have to come back to us for reapproval. But generally when we grant an approval, it's good for a year. So even if they don't execute immediately, they've got up to a year to pull a building permit on it. I believe that's how we generally manage that.
But what you approved isn't what it's going to be.
We don't know what the county changed. And the county doesn't get into architecture, so you know, I can't imagine what they changed, but we'll see it.
Okay. It's good to see everybody again.
Good to see you.
Good summer.
Thank you, Scott. Mr. Knipple, you are going to get up.
Yes,
I don't call on people. I just saw them get up, so...
Fred Knipple, 5659 West Cascade Drive, a Franklin senior. I'm here to just say thank you for your past support of the Franklin seniors. It's a joy to see 100 and some plus members every month enjoying camaraderie and talking and playing a little cards and just socializing. I say it many times that I've never seen so many people dress up so well for lunch as our seniors do. So as you consider your budget for this year, I hope that our funding continues as it has been. We try to do the best we can with the amount we're given. We're very cognizant of that funding and what we can do with it, and we do our best to do it with it. So thank you for your efforts, and I'm sure your budget is like making sausage. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I hope you people would realize that you're not speaking in the mics properly, especially you, Steve Olson, Mayor, I cannot hear too well. I do have hearing aids, but if you look at the box back there, when you can drive that thing that it's all red, you are doing a good job, and I'm doing that right now. One of the issues I want to take on is G8. It says Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission traffic study for intersection of South 51st Street and West Drexel Avenue. Now, this came up way before, and they planned it so there would be three lanes going four different directions. Why is this on the agenda? Is there any change to that, or what is it?
That was a preliminary plan. This is the actual traffic study. No decisions were made. That's for discussion.
So is this a decision now, or what are we going to do with this?
Depends on what the council wants to do with it.
I can't hear you.
Depends on what the council wants to do with it.
Oh. All right. I got number 15, a resolution for change of order. Number one, in Dome, to the Dome Corporation of North America in amount to $9,200. For the construction of a salt storage barn and authorized staff to use up to $30,000 and other miscellaneous expenditure related to the project. So what this project can do is come up with $39,000, and I can't see why we would store something like salt in a building when salt at the harbor is stored outside. I can't quite understand why we have to spend $40,000. You could take that money and give it to the travel program here, and we would appreciate it very much. And you won't do that. But put the salt where it belongs outside and not spend $42,000. I just can't believe that people are storing all that salt down at the harbor, and now we want to build a building. This came up before. And I think it was turned down. So why are we doing it again and again? Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Okay, I will close the citizens' comment period. We'll move on to mayoral announcements. Item A, once again, our finance staff has done a tremendous job in production of our annual comprehensive annual financial report. We again won the Government Finance Officers Association Certificate Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. So thank you, Paul. Mark. There we go. Item B, there's in your packet a proclamation to designate May 6th as Arbor Day in the city of Franklin. So that's noted. Move on to item C. Alderman Wilhelm.
I'd like to approve the regular committee of the whole meeting minutes for October 2nd as corrected in front of us. The revised vision is here, and that's the change to item, the motion that I made at the bottom of the page.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Also in your packet, the minutes of the Common Council meeting of October 3rd. Any additions or corrections? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mayor, on this proclamation, is it supposed to say 2018, or are we?
No, it was prepared. It just wasn't brought in front of the Common Council, and
we did it.
The
just
arborist
didn't give it to you.
Would like the Common Council to have approved it, so we're just bringing it a little bit late.
Okay. So if we
we're just making sure you didn't forget.
Yeah, we turn back the clock. Okay. Well, given that we're talking about trees and move on to item E, organizational business, I am put forward for you the appointment of Thomas Reha as the city forester effective November 1st. Tom is here. Tom, please stand up because everybody should know you. Tom's a longtime employee of the Department of Public Works. He's a forester by trade, and he's been doing a job. So here we go.
Congratulations.
Move to approve or second.
You don't need a motion. This is your appointment.
Do you need a motion?
You made
but you got to approve it.
Yes.
Okay.
Make the motion. And I'd just like to add to that, congratulations. It's been a long time coming.
Absolutely.
It's a good move for Franklin.
Welcome. And for those of you in the office, in the audience, our longtime director of superintendent of public works, Jerry Schaefer, who had the title, is retiring effective November 1st. Tom is taking over for him. And we invite you all back on November 7th when we issue Jerry Schaefer a hearty hail and farewell and all kinds of proclamations from everybody. On that motion, a roll call, please.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries, 5 ayes, no noes, 1 absent. Congratulations, Tom. Go cut some trees. There is no such thing as a healthy tree, is there, Tom? Okay. Move on to item. Thanks, Tom. You can get off the clock now. item one, donation to the Franklin Police K-9 Fund.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G2, an ordinance to amend the 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan and land use plan for land at 7333 South 27th Street.
So moved.
I'd like
Alderman Wilhelm.
I'd actually like to make that motion, if you didn't mind. And I had a couple questions.
I'll second.
Okay.
first of all, the future use on page 21 for the motel, it talks about the motel portion. I wasn't able to really be able to clarify and look at the maps and see if the driveway for Little Cancun was stained.
Mr. Deedle.
For the restaurant portion. Because I know there's 2 acres mentioned to redevelop the site, and there's only 2 acres there.
None of the applications deal with that property. Their application materials didn't cover any of those. And they mentioned it's going to be addressed at a future date. So the only thing it does address is just a 2-acre lot they're creating out of for a CSM. That's one of the next items coming up